Hi, this is Natalie Lussier, and welcome to Expand Your Reach and Get More Subscribers. This is step one, research. And we're going to be laying the foundation for a lot of the list building work we're going to be doing together. So pay attention to this video. There's a lot to cover. There's going to be some demonstrations on how to do things and a lot of great strategies. So let's dive right in. So here's what you're going to learn in today's training. We're going to talk about the exact places where your ideal audience hangs out, how to find them, and then in the next video, also how to use that information and what to do. Then we'll go over my research shortcuts to use your competitors to find your people fast. We'll also talk about best practices for tracking your list building progress so that you know where to invest your time and money. Okay, so first we're going to talk about tracking with Google Analytics. So before you send anyone else to your website, you need to track where they're coming from and whether they're subscribing or not when they do come to your website. So sometimes we think that, oh, it's not working, something on my website just needs to be fixed, it's not working, and maybe what you're getting is that you're not getting enough traffic, or it is that you're getting traffic, but they're just not subscribing. So it's really important to be able to see what's going on. And we can also take a look at conversion when we get to that module. But here we're going to talk about how to actually set up Google Analytics. So take a look at this demo and we'll be right back. Now let's take a look at Google Analytics. So here I am, I'm going to sign into an account. If you have a Google account, like a Gmail account or a YouTube account, you can go ahead and go to google.com/analytics, and then you'll be able to log in and grab your own code. So I'm just going to first show you how to set it up on your website. So this is just a test website of mine. And when you create a new profile, you'll go here under admin and you'll be able to get your tracking info and the code that you'll need to set up your site. So I'm going to assume that you're using WordPress. If you're using another type of website, you will use this tracking code here, but I'm actually going to install Google Analytics using a plugin in WordPress. So here in my WordPress section here, I'm going to go into install plugins and then add new, and then I'm going to search for Google Analytics. Okay, and then you can take a look at the different analytics plugins. They all have slightly different information. I'm just going to go with this one by Juiced the Volk. So he tends to have really good plugins. So I'm just going to click install now. Yes, I want to install it. And then I'm going to activate the plugin. Okay, so what this plugin allows you to do is to authenticate directly by clicking here. It's going to ask you to grant access. And then you're going to be hooked into Google Analytics automatically. Now, if this didn't work or you're using another plugin, there will be a place where you can enter your UA code. So the UA code will be here, this tracking number or tracking ID. So I would go ahead and copy that in there and then update Google Analytics settings. So the other way that you can install Google Analytics is to use this code here where it says you need to copy this code into every page you want to track. So you actually want to just copy and paste this into your so for example, I'm using Headway, so I'm going to go into the options section, and then under scripts and analytics, I have header and footer scripts. So no matter what theme you're using, there should be some sort of option where you can go ahead and paste this code and then save those changes so that Google Analytics can start tracking the visitors who are coming to your website, and you can start getting data and, you know, doing some research on what people are doing on your website. Okay, so the first thing I really want you to do if you don't have this set up yet is to set up a goal where it will tell you when somebody opts in to your email list. So to do that, we're going to go here under conversions, goals, and then overview. And that's actually going to tell us that we don't have any goals set up. If you do have goals set up, you can get back there by going under admin and then goals. So we're just going to click on setup goals, and then we'll click plus goal to create a new one. And then we'll call this opted into email list. And then you'll want to choose URL destination. So here, this goal URL is the thank you page when people opt into your list. So let me just give you a quick example here. So let's say I have some pages, and I have a page which is, let's say this will be my thank you page. Okay, so as you can see here, the permalink is the domain name /thanks. And this is the URL you would put when somebody opts in into your email system. This is the thank you page. So in AWeber and MailChimp and Infusionsoft, all of these have a slightly different way of setting these thank you pages, but you should be able to find that in their help file so that you can actually set that up properly. So now what you'll want to do is the goal URL here will be thanks. So that's just the link that people go to after they opt in. So let's just click save. So now we have that goal set up, and every time that somebody opts in, we'll be able to track that information, and it will give us all kinds of cool information. So here is one of my existing websites, and I'm just going to show you what you can do with Google Analytics to find out what people are searching for, what pages on your site are the most hot and important and useful ones, so that you know what kind of content people want from you and you can give them more of it, and in return get even more traffic and grow your list even more. So here I am. This is just the demographics. You can also kind of drill down into location, find out where people are. You can find out what kind of technology people are using, whether they're on mobile or desktop computers. And then you can also take a look at how people traverse through your website. So what pages are they coming to, and what pages they go to next after they have gone to some of your pages. Okay, so here's the one I really want you to look at, and this is traffic sources. So for me, I have quite a bit of traffic coming through search, a little bit of referral traffic, and then quite a bit of direct traffic as well. So the one that I want to go into is under sources, and then I want to take a look at referrals. So referrals will basically tell me where a lot of my traffic is coming from. So google.com means people are searching and finding me through Google. Or it could also be Google Plus. And then we have Pinterest, which is also getting me a lot of traffic. We have Facebook, the 4-Hour Workweek, Psychology of Eating, people who are on Facebook Mobile, and then other Google websites. So what I recommend is showing all of these and choosing a bigger number so you can really scroll through and take a look at which websites maybe are sending a couple of people to your site. Now, they may not be sending thousands of subscribers or people to your website, but it will tell you which ones are sending people, and then you can also take a look at which ones are working out the best. You can also take a look at search, and under organic, you'll see what keywords people are using to find your website. And that will tell you a lot about what kind of content people are searching for on your site. Similarly, under content here, you can also see which pages get the most traffic. And that will also give you an idea of which pages are getting you the most subscribers. But it's not necessarily a one-for-one correlation. So now let me go over here under conversions and goals and show you what those opt-ins look like. So here I have 300 people subscribing in the last month, and it shows me my conversion rate. So it shows me out of the number of people who are coming to the site, how many of them are becoming subscribers. And then it also kind of gives me an idea. I actually put $1 for each subscriber. It's just kind of a funny metric that I decided to set up. But if you know exactly how much money you make per subscriber, that would be something that you could track as well. Okay, so now I want to get into advanced segments. So let me show you how to create a new advanced segment, and then I'll show you what kind of stuff you can do once you have them set up. So let's go ahead and click plus new custom segment, and then I'm going to call this Successful Women Talk because I was interviewed there. So here I'm going to choose source. So just type in source, and then this will be the URL that I want to track. And now I'm just going to save this segment. Okay, so now what that does is it has applied this filter to all the data. So as you can see here, two people have opted in who came from the Successful Women Talk that I was interviewed on. So this is a really cool thing because then you can also go back under Advanced Segments and then check off a couple of other places and hit Apply. And then you'll see how many people are coming from the different websites and places that you're being featured on. So for example, Facebook seems to be working fairly well. I get one new subscriber on a regular basis every couple of days or every couple of weeks. So that really tells me a lot. And you can also compare the percentage of people who are opting in based on these different places. So let me go back here and choose a couple of other places that it might that they might have come from. So let's compare Pinterest and then apply these ones. So see, between Facebook and Pinterest, Pinterest is converting a little bit lower, and then LinkedIn and Huffington Post are not sending anybody. So that's really interesting. So if I were to spend more time on either of these sites, this would tell me which ones to focus on. And you can also go back here and change the date range at the very top of Google Analytics and compare, because that might also change the numbers. So as you can see here, Facebook has way higher conversion rates than Pinterest over the long run. So as you can see, Pinterest started picking up in the last month or so. So this is a really interesting thing to be able to compare as well. And you can see trends of things that are changing and that are getting better or worse, as you can see here. And it's really interesting to be able to really have a look at this data. So those are advanced segments. If you uncheck these, you'll just see all of the data coming from any of the different sites that you have. Another thing that you can do here is go under your audience overview and then also under your advanced segments, you can go ahead and compare. And this again will kind of show you what's going on in terms of page views and visitors and number of pages people visit, number of minutes people spend on your site. And it's just really cool stuff to be able to compare. So as you can see, I get return visitors from Facebook and new people from Pinterest. So this is all really cool data that you need to have at your fingertips so that you can build your list the smart way and not spend time on sites that aren't getting you subscribers or traffic. Okay, so once you have your advanced segments and goals set up in Google Analytics, what I recommend is creating a bit of a spreadsheet that you can use to refer to over time. And that's actually what we do in my company, where we have the source. So in this case, I have two different places that I've been featured and I have links with people coming back to my website from, so Forbes and Inc. And then these are just visitors and opt-in, and they're not real numbers, but I just want to give you an idea of what to look for. So here I have the notes, and what I think is really important is to be able to see what worked and what didn't. So another thing I didn't mention here is that I would also track anything else that I did to get opt-ins in the same spreadsheet. So I might track if I was interviewed on a podcast or if I did a webinar with somebody, I would also track the number of visitors and opt-ins I got from that webinar so that I can track, you know, what worked, what didn't work. And then you can even go one step further if you're tracking sales and also track that data so that you know, how effective was your messaging and what to do better next time. Okay, so now we're going to go into who is your ideal client or customer. So to find these people, you need to actually know who they are and what they're doing online and where they're hanging out. So what I want you to do is take out a sheet of paper and draw a picture of your ideal client or customer. I don't mean what they actually look like, but you can if that helps you find a picture or create an image that will help you write to that person and think of that person as a real person. So what I want you to do is you can definitely start with gender, age, nationality, career, all those kind of basic things that we think about when we think about ideal clients. But then I really want you to go deeper into interests, hobbies, passions, motivations, where they shop, what they buy, what they read. Just kind of get a feel for who they are and what interests them. And then I would also say to go deeper into their fears, frustrations, and pain points. So this is one that might be hard to do unless you actually talk to someone. So if you have existing clients and customers, get on the phone or meet in person or send out a survey and find out what those pain points and frustrations are. And the reason I ask this is because that will help you so much when you're creating content down the line and when you're crafting pitches for guest posts or anything else. It will help you to know exactly what people want from you and what they need help with. You can also look at the more positive side of things, like what they're excited about, what their hopes and dreams are, what keeps them going, what motivates them. That's all great information. And just write all of that down and just draw a clear picture for yourself, because you're going to be using this a lot as we go through the different parts of this course. And all of this information is really going to help you figure out where they are online and offline, and also give you empathy when you're creating content so that you can really get in their shoes. And I think that's something that is really important and has helped me so much when I've been building my list and getting traffic to my website. Because if you know how to talk to people, if you know if you're really landing in the right way for them, they will come back to your site and become subscribers. Another thing I want to say about your ideal client is that they may be just like you, but a couple years behind in terms of your journey. So you can absolutely write about your past fears, frustrations, hobbies, dreams, all of those things, and that might actually help you figure out your ideal client and a little bit more about them. So now we're going to take a look at some shortcuts via our competitors. So what I want you to do is make a list of your competitors and other people in your market, especially anybody who makes you feel jealous or who feels like they're bigger than you and out of your league. And the reason for that is that if they're doing well, there are definitely things that we can learn from them and potentially model or get ideas about where they're being featured and getting customers from. So this is what I recommend here, is to make a list of your competitors. And then obviously the jealousy part will give you a hint of, you know, this is what I want for myself. So sometimes when jealousy comes up, it's because that's what you want to create for yourself. So it's important to kind of keep that in mind when you're making this list and not get too sucked into some of those emotional things. Okay, so once you've got a list of your competitors, I want you to take a look at where they might be getting their customers and clients and subscribers from. So look at the topics that they write about, especially if they're successful. So if they're writing about specific things, probably they've done their research and talked to their ideal clients and customers to find out what they wanted, and they were able to craft content, whether it's guest posts or interviews or whatever it is that people really resonate with. So we'll give you a lot of information about what you can also write about. And I'm not saying to copy by any means. I really just want you to have a list of topics, especially if they're things that you can speak about proficiently as well. So I would also encourage you to consider shifting away from the competitive aspect towards a collaborative and even friendly aspect. So when it comes to online business, competitors can really help each other grow, and they can help each other by doing webinars or joint ventures or really helping each other by sharing their people. Because when it comes down to it, customers are not, you know, my customers versus your customers. They really can buy many different things and they can get services by many different people. And there's definitely enough to go around. So it's important to kind of shift that perspective a little bit and take that in and see how that feels. Okay, so this is a really cool trick that I absolutely love. So if you have no idea where to get started about where to get featured or where to get traffic from, set up a Google alert for the name of your competitors. So you'll see where they're being featured, interviewed, and you can also seek similar coverage once you know where it is that they're getting their people from. So this is a shortcut to doing all the legwork and research yourself. And it's really good because it will also introduce you to new websites and new places that you might not have heard of before. And it'll also give you an idea of where you might not want to be featured, especially if you're targeting a different audience or you're trying to really set yourself apart from your competitors. So here's how you set up a Google alert. Simply go to google.com/alert and then put the search query that you want to use. So in this case, we'll put the name of a competitor. So let's just go with Walmart. It's kind of a funny competitor and we're going to see a lot of news alerts for them. But that's basically what you might want to put. You want to put the name or the company name of your competitor to find out where they're being featured and where they're being interviewed or guest posting. And then in terms of result types, I'm going to go with everything. You could just go with blogs if you want to see where they're being featured on different blogs. But I think just everything is helpful. And then you can also figure out if you want to receive this once a day, once a week. Probably once a week is a good amount. You probably don't want to get overwhelmed with these results. And then you can choose how many. So if you choose only the best results, you might filter out a lot of the smaller websites. And maybe that's okay if you have enough data. Otherwise, I'd say all results just to give you a good feel. And then just click create alert. What will happen is you'll get an email every time or at least once a week that this person is mentioned on the web. I also suggest setting this up for yourself because you never know, people might be blogging about you or linking to you and you might not know it unless you set up a query for your own name and your company name. Now I'm going to recommend that you brainstorm other providers and businesses that are more tangential to yours. So before we're talking about more direct competitors, and now I want you to go over a list of companies and other providers that are similar to you or at least in the same market as you, but don't directly compete. So take for example, if you're a photographer, you might partner with an event planner who always is hiring or recommending photographers. And if you do a really good job with their clients, then they're going to keep referring and sending people to you for your photography services. And recommendations do go a long way. So think about what other services your clients are using that they might be getting in touch with providers for earlier in their process. So like, let's say you're a web designer, maybe they're, again, photographers, people are getting their pictures taken before they get their websites done. Or maybe they're hiring a coach or a consultant before they get their websites done. So again, just try to seek out people who are in tangential businesses and helping the same people that you're helping and get in touch with them and see if there's a way for you to refer business to each other. So you never know, there might be a great partnership opportunity in that way, and you might just be able to get direct leads for actual business as opposed to necessarily building your list. But I think this is a really important one because you might also be able to do other things together, like create products or offer guest posts, and really just be connected with their community of existing people. Okay, so now that we've talked about tracking who your ideal client is and your competitors, let's take a look at some Research 101 tips and tricks. Okay, so here is a document that I recommend every single person to set up. It can be a spreadsheet, that's how I do it. So what I have are a list of potential guest post or interview locations. So if you don't know what a guest post is, it's pretty straightforward. It's when you write a piece of original content, like a guest post or a blog post, sorry, that you would send to another blog and they would publish it for you and then include a link back to your website to get you more traffic and get people to check you out and hopefully subscribe for your list. So that's a guest post. An interview is almost kind of the same, except that you're answering questions about yourself. It could be recorded on video or audio. And so you would also have links back to your website through an interview. And then you have podcasts and web shows, which are, again, probably interview related, but they could also just be pure content that you're creating or, you know, kind of chatting with people on. And then you could also have different places where there are online magazines or they actually just have link directories or they just take straight up articles on their website. So the first example here I have is a blog called Tiny Buddha. It's a blog. And the important thing here is I want to talk about Alexa Rank. So if you've got a list of, let's say, 10 or 20 different places that you could be guest posting or being featured on, I want you to focus on the bigger fish. So what do I mean by that? I mean a blog that has a lot of subscribers, a lot of traffic, that's going to get you a lot of traction and momentum. What I want you to do is always focus for the activity that will give you the most leverage and the most bang for the time that you're actually spending. So you could write, 10 different guest posts and get very few results if you were blogging for a website that had no traffic and was just not targeted to your people. So the question is, how do you know if it's targeted? And how do you know if they're the right website to actually be spending your time writing for? So this is where Alexa Rank comes in. You can get to Alexa just by going to alexa.com, and now you can basically type in any domain name and you'll see their rank in Alexa. So I'm going to type in Tiny Buddha. So as you can see here, Tiny Buddha's traffic rank is 26,000 in the US, and then globally, and then 11,000 in the US. And it has about 2,000 people linking in, and it has a very nice number of 5-star ratings. So what's important here? So first of all, the Alexa traffic rank is basically how popular and how often this website is visited across the entire internet. So what that means is number one would mean the most visited website in the world, which I think right now is probably Google. And then Facebook is probably second, and you can kind of go down the list. But basically, you want a smaller number here. So if this number was in the millions or, the multi-millions, then I would say it's probably not the best place to guest post on. But, 26,000 is pretty good considering the number of websites that are on the internet. So I would say this would be a go and a great place to guest post on. Now, let me also contrast this site with a couple of other ones. So let's check out problogger.net. So ProBlogger is actually 3,728, and that's their Alexa rank. So that means that it's like the 3,000th most visited website in the world. So that's an awesome, awesome place to guest post on as well. You can also see that ProBlogger has even more websites linking back to them. So again, that's just a great indicator. So in terms of choosing, I think it's a really great idea to go through the websites that you want to guest post on, and then just put in the Alexa rank of all these different websites, and then you can compare a lot more easily that way. And that'll just give you something to get started with when it comes to comparing and making decisions and just being more choosy with your time and prioritizing a bit more. So the other thing you might be wondering is, well, how do I know if I can guest post on a website? So here's Tiny Buddha, the website we were checking out. And so you can also see how many subscribers and fans they have. That's also an awesome indicator of, a popular website, a website that has a lot of people checking it out. And then the other thing I'd recommend is if you want to be doing a lot of research and you're going to be spending time doing it, I recommend setting up a little Alexa plugin in your browser. So I have this Alexa plugin here, so I can just be visiting different websites. So for example, this website, MO, which I'm also talking about, I can just click here or hover and it'll tell me the Alexa rank without having to go to that website. So if you click around Alexa, you can find the toolbar here and it has a bunch of different plugins to set up so that you know exactly what the ranks of different websites are just as you're browsing the web. So back here on Tiny Buddha, I know that I can actually guest post here by looking right here where it says interested in writing for Tiny Buddha, submit your best original content here. And then what I recommend is checking out their writing guidelines and how to submit, and that will really tell you a lot about how to get your content up here. So let's say there's a website like Mind Body Green and you really want to write for them, but you're not sure if they will allow guest posts. I would just Google the name of the website and then the word contribute or write for or guest post. And then like this one, it actually pulled up this page which allows you to submit your article. Now we're going to be going over how to submit and how to write content for other sites in the next video, but I just wanted to show you how to tell if they actually do accept guest posts or not. If you're going to be making this list, I want you to have all the data that you need to make the best decisions when it comes to choosing where to spend your time. So the other thing I have here are potential topic ideas. So here's what I did. When I went to Tiny Buddha, I basically took a look around and read some of the articles and that, you know, did my own research and then came up with a couple of topics that I think might be great guest posts. So adding meaning to menial work was something I just kind of came up off the top of my head. But, you know, I would come up with more than one potential topic because if you're going to be spending time reaching out to these guest posters or websites, I think it makes sense to have a couple of different things in your pocket that you can use to guest post or create content. And then notes. So for me, I might actually think about what's the best place for these people to go to. So sometimes I get the question, should you have a different squeeze page or landing page for each of the guest posts or places that you're featured on? And generally, I would say no. I wouldn't recommend building out a bunch of different landing pages. I may say for a really big website, it makes sense. And you can just create that and have people say, for example, hey, Pro Blogger readers, thanks so much for coming to my website. Here's, you know, all the best stuff and click here to opt in. So I might say for a really big website, it makes sense. But if you're, you know, if you're going to be doing a lot of these, I think it'll just get way out of hand way too quickly. So I don't recommend it. So the next one here is Jamie Ridler Studios, and she has a podcast. So let's take a look at how to research podcasts and how to get onto podcasts, because I think that that's another great way. And by the way, this applies to both web shows and podcasts and other places that interview people kind of as their main content. Okay, so here I am looking in iTunes at Creative Living with Jamie, and I see she has all, you know, 5 stars, 23 reviews. I think that is a great indicator that it's a worthwhile endeavor to reach out and see if she would interview me. And so, you know, you would just make a list again of great podcasts. I recommend that you listen to them, get a feel for what kind of people they're interviewing, and make sure that you're a good fit, because if you're going to be reaching out to them, you don't want to come off as like, oh, wait, this is kind of a spammy request. So just listen to the different podcasts, find out if you would be a good fit for this podcast, and just kind of do your research before you do reach out. But here's what I recommend in those notes sections, write down what kind of stuff you would be talking about and really make it something that would be a great fit for this podcast person or creator. So let's go here at the top and let's search for health. So by default, it's just going to show you like different apps and all kinds of songs and stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and select podcasts so we can really filter that down. So these are all podcasts that show up for the word health. So you can see Jillian Michaels and like all kinds of different types of podcasts here. So what I recommend is just taking a look at the different podcast, seeing what catches your eye, and then just take a look. So I was curious about this one. So you would take a look. This one has a lot of great reviews. It looks like there's a lot of people listening to it. So I might listen to a couple of these. And then if I was a guest or a potential guest for this podcast, I would basically figure out, okay, what is it that I could really contribute to this podcast and come up with a topic or kind of a talk that they could interview me for, and then I would reach out to them. But I recommend just going through and finding things that seem like a great fit to you and just putting them on that list. Okay, so you know how to create this document and you know how to do this research for Alexa Rank and find out and prioritize and just make sure that you're creating great topics, but how do you find these different websites and podcasts? So here are some places to really help you kickstart your research. So what I recommend is to start with websites that you know and love and then branch out from there. So what I mean by that is, again, your ideal people might be hanging out on the websites that you enjoy. And so you might have some values in common. You might enjoy the same TV shows. Who knows really what connects you with these people, but it will really get going faster when you can start with what you know and love. So websites and blogs that you like, find out if they accept guest posts, if they do features, and then find out how you can contribute something that really matches and will help their audience. Okay, so here's AllTop, and you can go here. These are some of their biggest categories. So let's say you want to go under sports. You can kind of narrow that down. Let's say you want to go under golf. You'll see which are the most popular stories under golf, and then you'll see news, you'll see different blogs that talk about golf. So you might want to kind of scroll through, so Golf Babes, Hooked on Golf, and then you can open these blogs. So this is Easing Articles, And you basically just sign up for a free account. It's free to join. You basically start posting your articles. They have different categories. They're a super, super highly well-ranked on Alexa website. So you can see 438. So it's like the 400th most visited website on the web. So it's going to get great results for you. Just start writing immediately for this site if that's something that sounds good to you. They don't have as much of a community in terms of replies and comments and social media, but they do have a lot of people who are happily reading and sharing these articles. So next we have the Technorati directory here. So you can go and take a look. So if you want small business, you'll see which ones are the top ones. So Social Media Examiner, SEO Moz, Inc., Online Marketing Blog, and then you can kind of go through. And if you think that some of these are kind of too far out of your reach, where it might be really hard to get on, you can definitely just go through the further pages and start with those if it's your first time doing a guest post. So next we have BlogRank, and this one is actually really useful, and I think I'm going to start using it more. So what you can do here is you can choose the overall category, and then you can kind of focus in. So let's say social media. And then you'll just see what are the top social media blogs based on a couple of different rankings. So next we have blog ads. So I recommend just clicking buy ads. So you can see these are the top places where you could post ads. But if you scroll through, you'll see a bunch of different places, and you might find some blogs that you didn't know about and that might be a great fit for your people and for your audience. And this is really just to broaden your awareness and find new places that you might not know about or might not have found just through Google. But let's head over to Google and see what we've got. Okay, so let's say I was looking for a blog about how to grow flowers. So I might just go through some of these places. So maybe Garden Hobbies looks like a promising one. So this one, okay, maybe not the best one. It doesn't look like it has a blog, and it looks a little bit like an older company. But at least it kind of gives me an idea of like what sites are ranking highly for how to grow flowers. So this one may be an interesting one. See, this one leads to a blog, which I think is a great thing, and they might actually take guest posts here. Okay, so now that we've gone through all of these different research tools and strategies, and I've given you quite a bit to digest, we've basically covered the research part of the formula for list building. Next, we're going to go over traffic, and then we'll go through offers and follow-up in later videos. So I have a lot of homework for you to do, so go ahead and get started on your research, and I will see you in the next video.